56 people signed the Declaration of Independence. And in so doing, they underwent some serious pain in their life. That 56, 12 of them had their estates and houses burned down to the ground. Who's a strong person? Dude, come on, help me get this up here. You look a strong man. Come on. I hope you're a first timer. You get involved right away. There you go. Good. All right. Oh, he comes all the way. That's a good man right there. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, this is back in the day when leaders made decisions and they actually personally paid for it. And these guys, when they signed this and they declared themselves saying, this is what I'm about, starting this new country, their own sons actually went into war. Somebody else's sons didn't. Their own sons went into war. Many of them were killed. This was a form of love. I don't know if all those signers of the Declaration of Independence were thinking loving thoughts when they did it. Maybe they were thinking exclusively, we want a better life for ourselves. But they really modeled what I'm going to talk about today. And that is what love is. Love is when you understand the mission of your life, when you understand what you're about, you bend your life to it, and you actually lay down your life, even if it hurts you, even if there's things that you could have that now that you don't have. Today I'm going to talk about two different realities that you can live your life by. The one reality is the way that most of us live our lives. It's the default American way. It's the default human way. It's called accumulate treasures. This is a box of treasures. And what we do is we just go through our life accumulating more and more and more and walking around. More accolades, more accomplishments. And then another path is the path that Jesus talks about. It's the path of death. The path of laying yourself down, putting yourself aside for the purpose of love. You know, we have this phrase that goes around our culture today. It's, you know, I got to pick up my cross, bear your cross, follow. You know, we all have our cross to bear. And this comes from Jesus, but we use it in a way in which he didn't use it. You know, if I have planner's warts, I'll say, well, we all got our cross to bear. You know, I got planner's warts. You have your mother-in-law. We all have our cross to bear, or maybe you have dyslexia, or maybe you don't know who your parents were, and you're an orphan. Or we use this thing of all have our cross to bear in a way in which Jesus didn't intend it. He didn't intend it as an idea that there's hard stuff you're always going to have to go through, though that's true. We all have some hard stuff we're going to have to go through. But let's take a look at the actual context, and when we talked about picking up his cross, picking up your cross. He says this in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. When Jesus said this to his disciples, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. You know, now we know that Jesus died on a cross, but they didn't know Jesus was going to die on a cross. In fact, it's arguable whether or not Jesus, when he said this, actually knew he was going to die on a cross. So what is he saying here when he says, pick up your cross and follow me daily? What he's saying is, be ready to lay yourself down and die in order to love other people. Be ready to do that. A cross was a means of execution. It was a means of death. Today he might have said, pick up your electric chair and follow me daily. Sounds kind of morbid. It did to them too. He might say, pick up your lethal injection. He might say, pick up your coffin and follow me. Why would you do this? Just because you're a sadist? No, because you're a lover. Because you're a lover. Because loving always means laying stuff down that you could have. In the book of John, chapter 15, he defines what love is. He says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is love. This is love. When you lay stuff down to the point where you kill things, you put things to death, maybe even allowing yourself to actually go to death. I have up here, I've got my treasure chest. And inside, what I carry around in my life are all kinds of things that I value. Now, I'm going to talk about some of these things today. And I'm talking about these not because I want to talk about myself. But I'm talking about examples of things that I need to figure out whether or not I want to die to these things. Whether or not I want to lay these things down. And if not, then I have more burdens that I carry on in my life. And so I'm hoping that as I talk about some of my treasures here, you'll start to think, okay, well, what's actually in my treasure box? Here's one. Resolve carpet cleaner. Yeah, right there. Resolve carpet cleaner. That's cool right there. That's very cool. Now, I was the other day I was hanging out in a room in my house where in the morning I talk with God and I read my Bible and stuff like that. And so when I was done doing that, I was going back downstairs, and as I came by, I saw these two brown smudges on the carpet, and I knew exactly where they were. They were my dog Stanley leave behind, right there on the carpet, two brown smudges, and I knew what happened. What happened is, Libby and I had this ongoing argument that she should not be giving the dogs things like barbecue. She gives them barbecue, and then he poops on the floor. Okay, poops on the floor. So as I walk by that, one of the things that I treasure is telling my wife to go clean it up. That's one thing I treasure, because one of my values is everyone should take responsibility. We should take, everyone should bear their own load. Everybody should, you know, should do the things that you brought on. And I don't give my dog barbecue sauce, so therefore my dog doesn't poop on the carpet as a result of me. So, but when I make a mistake, when I make a mess, I really want to take responsibility for myself. This is one of my treasures, one of my values. Everyone needs to take responsibility. And that's one of the things that I treasure and one of the things I think about. Other things that I have in here, I treasure being smart and people knowing I'm smart or people thinking that I'm smart. I actually solved this just before I came up here, this Rubik's Cube. No, did I like people to think nice things of me. I like people to think that I'm smart. I like that. It's one of the things that I carry around with me, is that awareness. Is I don't want to be seen as dumb. Here's one. Aspirations. Things that would be really cool if it happened. It would be really cool someday if I wrote a book and more people would know about me. That would be really, really cool. So that's one of the things that I treasure while I'm on published materials here. Men's Fitness Magazine, one of the magazines, actually the only magazine I subscribe to. What I like about this is it's all guys all the time. It's kind of, I like being a guy. I like reading about guy stuff. I also like reading this magazine because there's a level of health in it. I like reading about health. I actually had another men's magazine. I think it was Men's Health or something like that I read, but it was actually should have been called Men's Sex. The whole thing was, half the thing was all about sex. How to have sex with your boss, how to have sex with three people, how to have sex with yourself. I don't need coaching on those things, you know? And it was all sex, so I eliminated it, but then I liked the sort of man health thing, so I tried another one. This has less sex stuff in it. More than I wish was in it, but nonetheless, it represents, I like virile guy things. I'm a guy, I'm proud that I'm a guy, I dig that. Here's another thing that someday I'd really love to have, a little cabin in the middle of nowhere. My little cabin in the middle of nowhere. I treasure this. It's something that, it's on my mind, man, it'd be really cool to, I think, to have some little place out in the middle of nowhere. No one is. I can go and no one knows me. And I can just go there and I can read or do whatever and I don't know, do whatever guys do in the middle of the woods. That'd be kind of a cool thing. And here's another one. Another thing I treasure. This is a ship. It's a ship. It represents the organization or the church I'm a part of, Crossroads. And many of you have ships. Things that you're on, businesses that you're a part of, organizations, foundations, whatever. And this is what this represents. Now, Crossroads, there's a lot of leaders here, a lot of people doing incredible, awesome things. There's a board of spiritual directors that are here, of which I'm one of them, and I submit to them. But nonetheless, if you were to say, who would be the one person, if you had to say one person that's sort of at the helm and steering, that would, unfortunately for you, be me. And I actually treasure that. It's fun for me to think that, you know, I'm sort of at a helm of something that's really big, really popular right now. People think it's good. I don't know. I don't know what I'd be like if, I don't know if I would treasure leading a church that was 100 people and I had to work at Wendy's part time. I know people who do that and they're heroes to me. I would like to think that I would like that. I would like to think that I would love God just as much as I was in that environment. But fact of the matter is, I've never been in that environment. I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. But what I do know is, it's pretty fun doing the job I have right now and being here. Sort of, it's a treasure that I have. Here's another one. Another treasure. A lemon. A lemon. Let me tell you, a lot of these things, you say, oh, I don't have that one. I don't have that one. All of us have this one. Lemon. Man, you know, you bite into a lemon, you are biting into bitterness. I treasure some of the bitterness in my life. I treasure the people who said I couldn't do X, Y, Z and I did X, Y, Z. I treasure that the people have said lies about me and I'm still standing. I treasure that people have tried to knife me in the back and didn't take me down. I treasure that I had some hardships early in life and I've come along. I treasure that there's hurts and wounds that I've had that I think about every once in a while. And when I think about those, I somehow get some sort of satisfaction that I'm still around and you were wrong and I was right. And the bitterness, this is bitterness. And there's things that I think that I like thinking about. I like treasuring. So what am I to do with these? In fact, there's thousands of other things in here, thousands upon thousands. And I keep adding things and treasuring things and pulling this around. And it becomes part of my identity. What do I do with this? You know, the more I treasure, the more I carry around, the less mobile I am to love. The more I'm concerned about building this thing up, the less I can love. Because the more I have to lose, the more I have to be distracted by, the less mobile I become. And how do I get free of this? The ultimate freedom will be if I had nothing that I was treasuring. In the Bible, this is called dying to self. Jesus talked about picking up your cross, picking up your execution means, picking up your coffin. This is called dying to self. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament puts it this way. He says this, I die every day. I mean that. He's not saying I commit suicide every day. No one should ever commit suicide. It's always a bad idea under every single circumstance. What he's saying, what does he mean every day? What he means is every day I decide to die, put to death, to kill, to burn everything that is in this thing right here. Every day I make a decision to turn my back on that and go after God. Because that's what love is. Love is when I lay myself down, when I turn my back on, and I go after God. The way you love, the way you go after things, the way you're after a mission, is when you bury your stuff, when you put it under the ground. No one feels good when you see a coffin. No one feels good about that. In this image, we're going to spend the rest of our time on, goes directly against pop spirituality today. And it could be pop spirituality in the New York Times bestseller list. It could be pop spirituality in the church of your choice, including even the Church of Crossroads, if you just selectively listen to things here that make you feel good. Oprah interacting with, you know, the new spirituality superstar of our day, Eckhart Tolle. She said recently, interacting with him, said, God is a feeling experience, not a believing experience. Let me tell you, you are not going to feel like liking this, but what I'm going to talk about today is the key to get you to a new place spiritually. And let me just take issue with Oprah. God is not a feeling experience. There's a lot of things that God wants you to do you are not going to feel like doing. In fact, you're not going to have feelings about it all. In fact, God isn't even a believing experience either. God is not about having the right values. God is a loving experience. God is a getting into people's world experience. God is a laying down your life for people experience. God is a not about me, but about God experience. In the book of 1 John 3:16, it talks about what love looks like, what kind of experience it is. When it says this, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's what love is. Laying your life down. That's what God is, laying your life down. See, the problem with these things is some of these things are inherently bad. I'll talk about one of them in a moment. But some of these things are not inherently bad. In fact, some of these things are good, and you can actually have some of these things. But the question is, no matter what I'm treasuring, is it getting in the way of me loving? Is it getting in the way of me and God? Okay, so I treasure being responsible for your actions. I treasure that. That's something important to me. And I have Bible verses that support we should be responsible too. But as I walk by Stanley spots that, by the way, I didn't cause. I tell you that. It wasn't my fault. It was Libby's fault. As I walk by that, what it means to lay down my life, what it means to die to self, is to get down on my hands and knees and clean up that poop. That is what that means. And when I don't do that, I'm about me and I'm not about God. When I don't get down and do stuff that I haven't created, then I'm not following in Jesus' footsteps. Because, see, he died for something he didn't create. He died for my poop, you know? He didn't create that. He didn't need to, but he laid down his, so I have to die to this idea that I only engage when it's my fault. I have to die to this idea that problems aren't my problems. I have to die to this idea that I just can't go around loving it. I gotta die. That's gotta die. That's gotta be buried, because when I do that, I am not being like Jesus. I'm not being like Christ. This book idea. Here's the way it works in the church world. It's pretty disgusting. Let me tell you how this works. The way it works is, if you're a pastor of a church and church gets a certain size, then you write a book because publishers think that you'll have a selling audience, and that's sort of the next path in your career progression. I need to get a book. And so people for years are saying, hey, when are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book? And the only reason I could ever see writing a book is because I wanted to increase my name recognition. I wanted prestige. That's the only reason I could see doing it. So you know what I had to do with the whole book? I had to die. Die to this idea of writing a book, because it's not motivated by love. It's motivated, or would be motivated, by prestige. I had to die to that. I had to put that aside. The virility thing, you know, I like being a guy, but there's a lot of stuff that says what a guy should be that is not what a guy should be. There's a lot of things that go along with masculinity that I need to die to. And some of those things, that being a guy at 42 years old, it's actually harder to do them as well. So I have to die to the image of what a real man looks like when I see that image of that masculinity. Not only can I not do it any longer, but I also can't do it and be like Jesus. I have to die the idea of being a real man, whatever the heck a real man is. I got to lay that down and walk away from it. I need to bury it. You know, being smart. You know, the new service times. Guess what? We look pretty stupid, don't we? Yes, we do. We look very stupid. I understand we look stupid. I understand it looks like somebody, you know, had their head checked up in the clouds. Let me tell you, when we made that decision, there was a lot of very smart people that spent hours and hours in the room trying to figure that out. Emails, a lot. I guarantee you, if you were in the room for all those meetings, you wouldn't have brought any new information at all. You really wouldn't have. You would have heard all, and you'd say, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Well, you know, we do all this. We do this, and then we find out things happen that were an extreme of what we expected. Everyone flocking to this service. You don't understand that God does love you more if you go to the 8:30 service. You keep coming to the 10 o'clock service. But that's okay. And our traffic, and volunteers were getting slammed, killed, absolutely killed, getting out of here 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we found that out like the first day. So if you haven't died to looking smart, what do you do? You suck it up. You say, hey, full steam ahead. That's what we got to do. But then when you're really not concerned about looking smarter any longer, because you buried that, maybe I didn't bury it. When you're not concerned about looking smart, when you die to looking smart, when you die to thinking, having people think that you're really buttoned up, when you die to that, decisions become very easy. You can change your mind very, very easily because you don't have some smart reputation to uphold. My cabin. Yes, my cabin. My little, wherever it will be in the middle of nowhere someday, perhaps. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway, right, the way it is right now. See, here's the way it works. We just got off this Consume series, and I talked, we looked at a lot of stuff, and I do believe that there's been things that are broken for me financially because of tithing going beyond. I do believe that. I also believe primarily, though, the reason Libby and I are okay, doing okay financially, is because giving has moderated stupid spending. I do believe that. But finally, I also know that on a purely practical level, if I looked at how much money goes out of our accounts elsewhere every month, I could have a very modest mortgage right now on this. I could have this right now. And why don't I have this? Because I've died to that. I've died to that. Why is that? Because where I am right now, where we are right now, this would not be loving. This would be consumeristic. Where we are right now, this would not be loving. Because we want to see stuff happen all across the globe. We want our money going there. We have a guest with us today. Please welcome Bharti from India, Mumbai, India. Yes, you're coming up again. I'm sorry, I lied to you again. Bharti's here from India, Mumbai, India. I promised her she wouldn't come on stage, and I've broken my promise every single time. So come on up. Yes, she looks very Indian, doesn't she? Yes, very, very Indian. Bharti leads and heads up the aftercare facility for girls who brought on the sex slave industry in Mumbai. Yes, it's a great, an act of love right there. And what do you want to say to us? What are you feeling right now? Tell us just a snippet of your work. What's going on?
Brian said that we do rescue girls from sex slavery, from prostitution. These are majors and minors both. We have a team of investigators who work with the police and get these girls out. Then we have a team of lawyers who represent the rights of the girls in court. They ensure that the perpetrators are pushed behind bars. And we have the aftercare team that looks at the rehabilitation of these girls once these girls are put into government and non-government aftercare homes. And then ensure that they are socially and economically reintegrated back in society. So that's in a nutshell what we do in Mumbai.
Are you having fun?
I'm having lots of fun. I'm having lots of fun.
Yeah. Hey, let's thank Bharti. Yeah, there we go. Standing. Oh, you have to love that.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, you can. You can.
I have to say this. I really have to say this. I have been feeling so special and appreciated for the past few days. And I promise that I'll take all this love, all this appreciation, all this warmth and this concern and care and generosity and graciousness and benevolence, and there are too many words, back to Mumbai. And I will impart this to my team who care for these girls and the girls themselves who are rescued out of slavery. I'll do that. I promise. Yeah.
God, we thank you for this woman. We thank you for her faithfulness and we thank you for her love. We sense her love right now. And we don't just sense it, but we see it by the sacrifices her and that team make. So give them extra measures of your grace and of your power as they go about being your hands and feet to those who are hurting. Amen. Thanks. You know, we said we went through consume that if we all came to a place where we said yes to loving on people, there's different things that we could be able to do around here, not based on what we felt like doing, not based on what we said we were going to do, but based on what we were doing. And I got to tell you, you know, you guys have just stepped it up. You've stepped up to the point where we just told IJM a couple days ago that because of our increased generosity, we are going to do the $600,000 for the increased aftercare facility. Starting next month, we're going to start making $16,000 payments every month to go away. And what I do, what I feel good about, that what I love is dying to this. I've had a small role. What compels me for that? Love. Okay, the ship. Cortez, when he was exploring the New World, when they landed, they took the ships and they knew that people, his crew members, if they saw a way back to their old life, they wouldn't want to press forward on foot to find the different passageways they wanted to find. So when they landed the ship, they burned the ships so that people couldn't look back and go back to their old ways. And here at Crossroads, we would be a lot more comfortable had we not done stuff like in Mumbai or in South Africa or being biting off this CityLink thing. We bring ourselves a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty. On average, last several years, we've had 2 weeks operating cash. And yet, why would we do something like do that deal over in India or wherever? It's because we make the decision to burn our ships. We make the decision to die to self as an organization. You know, whatever organization you lead or business you're a part of, if you're trying to sustain it, it is going to be a burden to you. Sometimes ships are very hard to burn. Let's see if I can get it. Let me see if I can get a little. Yeah, they. Oh, well, it would burn, you know. Ow, forgot about that. I would love, it would be great if Crossroads like continue to grow. That'd be fun because it would show that more people are connecting with Jesus. And it'd be awesome if it was on a good trajectory for 50 years and, you know, all that. But, you know, it's not a goal here. The goal is not for us to sustain ourselves. There will come a day where we will literally die and go away. And we embrace that. In fact, I've been part of a lot of Christian organizations since I've been following Christ that really, they did die a long time ago. People just didn't know it. You know, if we're supposed to die to ourself, it just makes sense that our churches need to die to self. We need to be at peace that our churches, our organization will someday just go away, and that's okay. Their run is done. And when you do that, when you realize that it's not about sustaining some organization or sustaining some church, decisions get very, very easy. You don't feel a burden. You don't feel a burden over things. You can make commitments on things. And in your life, when you decide that you want to be able to love, decisions that you need to make get very, very easy. It's very, very simple. Brad, with his personal life, Brad Johansson, you know, when you're a broadcaster, you shouldn't be involved in controversial things like the City Link in one city. He's put his job in some peril in many ways. He's undergone some criticism for what he's doing with that golf classic and with City Link, with one city, which is the parent organization of City Link. Why would you do that? Because he's died to his career. If his career continues to go up and he becomes a national broadcaster, oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be wonderful. But in terms of a defining goal, a defining thing, that this is what I'm going to go, it brings bondage. I've come to a place in my life where I feel like I have no restrictions and I have no aspirations. I aspire to nothing. There's some things that'd be cool if it happened. I have some things I know I'm called to work to, but I don't need to attain something else to put in here in order to go to a new place. Now, it's funny. When you die to something, when you put it under, that doesn't mean that it will die. It doesn't mean that God is going to kill it. Sometimes you die to something and God brings it back to life. You know, like, you know, we've died to this. I've died to this, but it's still floating. Everything's going fine. This book idea, I wrote this when I was away on my study break several years ago. I got frustrated because I couldn't give a book to my friends that have never read the Bible, didn't pray, didn't know any church lingo. There wasn't anything I could give them to say, once you start following Christ, just read this. This will get you started. So about 6 years ago, during my study break, I pounded out basically a document that I would email people and that sort of thing. And I had a publisher like 6 months ago call and say, hey, you ever thought about writing a book? And I've had those folks call before. And I said, well, I got this one that I hand around. They said, hey, if you want to, we'll publish that for you. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, good, done. You can do it. So it came to life and it'll come out in a bit. But when I buried it, when I killed it, when I didn't make it a goal, all of a sudden God brings it to life. When you die to something, it doesn't mean it won't happen. It means that it doesn't define you and you don't need it to happen to make you feel like God is close to you. Other things always need to stay buried. I'm telling you, some of you in here, when I talk about this, you've been thinking about it. You've been thinking about your little thing, your bitterness, your thing that you're upset about, all that stuff. You're like sucking on your mother's lemon. You're like, you suck on all of the bitterness that's happened for me. And I've had some. Let me give you another one here. You know, I got the lowest grades in preaching. Like my preaching class at seminary, got the lowest grades. As a sense of bitterness for me, and I suck, and every time I think, oh, I wonder what they saw me now. I want to. And in fact, even that, I just talk about that says, I'm trying to put that one to death, but it's got some life, so I need to keep going. No, I mean it. I need to go away. See, the more bitterness that we suck on, you're going, oh, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know, well, I do know this. You're hurting yourself. You're killing yourself. You're not helping the other person. Jesus says, I got nailed to a cross. I got beat on. I got spit on. I got nails put through my wrists, through my feet. He's up there. And what does he say? God, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He took up his life. He laid down his life. He picked up his cross and loved people. Now, here's the thing. If you can't identify something that you could have and that you don't have Jesus. Let me say it again. If you can't identify something that you could have and you've intentionally buried, you don't know love. Let me say it another way so you understand how offensive I'm trying to get here. Because see, when you die to people coming to your church, you can say things that piss them off all day long, including the word piss. You can say that as well. If you just don't care whether or not people come or not, if you want to get something to them. So let me say it again. If you can't identify something that you have died to, things you have died to, I am telling you, you think you know God, you don't. You think you're following God, you're not. You might have God values, Christian values, Jesus values, but if you've not died to self, if you've not gone without, you don't know Him. There's a whole new vista, there's a whole new place that's waiting for you. But we keep trying to, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to carry this around. Can I have more? Are you saying that God can't have this? No, the fact that you keep asking that shows that that's what you want. You don't want this. The more you want this, the less you really have God. The more you're willing to embrace this, the higher likelihood that you have God. In fact, I don't want to just put individual things in here. I don't want to just put my stuff in here. And again, there's hundreds, thousands of them. I actually want to die to self. I want the entirety of my body, everything, my whole self. This is dying to self. Walking dead man, walking dead woman. Actually, this is very comfortable right now. You see, Jesus not only said, take up your cross and follow me. He also said, take my yoke upon you because my burden is light. A lot of us are very weary right now because you're carrying around too many treasures. You're tired because you're not dying. You're tired because you're striving, you're accumulating, you're trying to bolt God onto your life instead of divesting your life and dying. This is a place of rest. Life gets very, very easy, the place of death and surrender. Right now, I want you to think about that thing that you have refused to bury. You know what it is. In your mind, I want you to pick it up. Take that object that you've been treasuring, you've been carrying around with you, you've been protecting it, you've been nurturing it, you've been explaining it away. You've been saying, well, that's just the way I am. Well, you don't think that God wants me to give up that, do you? Yes, 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 He does, yes. If you want to go to a new place, yes. If you want Jesus, if you want to be His friend, He says, you cannot be my friend if you don't die to those things. You can't. Just in a moment of prayer, see yourself walking over, dropping it in the grave and dying to it. God, see these prayers right now. We have a staff meeting every Wednesday morning, and we'll do some training there. We'll always pray as a part of that. And there's been a tradition that's developed over the last several years. To where we'll just call out one person at random and just say, Andrew, what kind of day is today?
It's a great day today.
And sort of become a tradition for us. It helps us center on what we're here for. We're here to love. We're here to serve, not to be about ourselves. What kind of day is today? See you next week. New service times.